turn again and again. And we know that by thy grace, and by the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. They will be sore tried by night and by day without rest until the victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violences of war. For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They fight to let justice arise, and tolerance and goodwill among all thy people. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, and brothers of brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in Thee in this hour of great sacrifice. Franklin D. Roosevelt, D-Day Prayer, June 6, 1944. Introduction. 0 hour 15. That day, 75 years ago. 0645, 6th of June, 1944. D-Day. Omaha Beach, Normandy, France. Imagine you are one among 160,000 about to join the greatest battle of the 20th century. The sun has been up for well over an hour, but you haven't seen it, partly because it's blocked by a shroud of thick clouds straining to hold back rain. The bigger reason is this. You have neither the energy nor the space to raise your head, let alone the will, for to look up is to break the spell keeping you safe. The spell is an illusion, and you know it. Yet you cling to it as firmly as you can, gripping it harder even than your well-wrapped M1 rifle as you shift uncomfortably in the landing craft. You're hurtling toward Omaha Beach in Normandy, France. Dark smoke already covers your target. The whole world seems black, except the red flames from the burning boats nearby. You've dreaded and prayed for this day to arrive for weeks. At turns, you've been stoic, ambivalent, confident, fearful. Now it's finally here, and those emotions and 20 more are exploding inside you, threatening to pierce the thin shell of your psyche. Around you, bullets ricochet off the hull of the boat. For all the landings you've practiced, there is no model for this, no precedent, no preconception to force the shattered kaleidoscope of chaotic reality surrounding you into an ordered outline. You cannot hear distinct sounds. The engines, the shells, the gunfire, they've blurred into a roaring mix, half thunder, half symphony, orchestrated by distant, angry gods. The landing craft stops. The ramp splashes down. People shout, "Go!" You blink your eyes and try to stir, only to realize you're already moving, propelled forward by a mysterious momentum, not by courage or duty or even will. 2 steps onto the ramp and you're now half swimming. You've been let off in deeper water than you thought, farther away from the beach, but not the danger. The only direction is forward, towards something both more violent and more epic than you've ever experienced. Your brain is clogged with 1,000 competing thoughts, most of them useless, some paralyzing. But one rises above all others. Who will save me if I am hit? The answer is already ashore, plunging and wading and pushing against the wind and wild waves amid mortar shells and gunfire. He has saved dozens of others this momentous day. Ray Lambert, an army medic from Alabama. By the time the ramp of your Higgins boat goes down, he'll have been doing this for nearly a half hour. Staff Sergeant Arnold Raymond Ray Lambert is 23, an old man by the standards of this battle. He's in charge